You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Shogger, how you doing? How's your back? Pace yourself on shoveling.
Yeah, that's what I've got teenagers for, buddy. Nice strong backs on the young lads and lasses. They have the, you know, the young tendons and the springy backs. They can do a lot of that lifting. But no, I managed okay today. Randine actually put in a shift out there. It's all good, buddy. We're getting her done.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, no, it's good. My son was out there, but as a seven-year-old, after about 2 minutes of shoveling, the rest was spent diving into the snowbanks, as you should, because he's 7 years of age. So
he has his dad's attention span, I see.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah. Where should we start? It's a rare Tuesday with so much going on. Give me your thoughts quick. We'll get to the orders in a sec. But so you trade for Nick Arbuckle. You're very excited to get him. You're going to sign him to a raise, even though he hasn't done anything this year. You give him a raise, and then you're like, well, geez, but we're not going to play him. Like, what the hell is going on here? This seems like I don't understand it.
Yeah, good question. I mean, I mentioned it yesterday, and I wonder about a disconnect. You know, the disconnect between management that brings a guy in and a coach that wants to play a different guy and why that's happening. I don't think that Taylor Cornelius has experienced the success that Jimmy Elizondo would like him to experience before the end of the year. I'm sure he'd love to get him a win, love to keep getting him reps, would love to get a better feel that you can rely on him for next year. Nick Arbuckle comes in to provide that veteran guy and to push for the starting job, but the confusing part to me was that they really paid the heck out of him for next year. And I know that a lot of times the contracts in the CFL aren't worth the paper they're printed on. You know, you got to make the team and start getting paid. They're not guaranteed, but still. So I'm confused, befuddled, and if he doesn't start the next game, then I'm going to be really, really confused and befuddled. So I don't know, man. It's the quarterback position hasn't made sense for most of this season, is what I would say.
Yeah.
The most important position hasn't made much sense for most of this year.
No, it hasn't at all. Well, there's just, to me, this is looks like another lack of direction and plan. Like, I you know what, if you want to trade for Arbuckle, but why'd you rush to sign him? And some would argue, why'd you rush to trade for him? Because you probably just could have signed him as a free agent in the offseason, not giving up a pick.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I mean, when they traded for him, did they still feel like they had a chance to take a run at a playoff spot if they started winning some games and they didn't want to? I mean, they needed another quarterback. They looked ahead to next year and thought, okay, let's let both guys compete for the starting job then and bring in a guy that has a bit of experience and not rely on a guy that has little to no experience. So I can understand the idea of a Cornelius Arbuckle tandem. I can understand the idea of them wanting to start next season with that. Maybe they wanted some certainty at the position after a train wreck of a year, and so maybe that's part of the reason why. But for Arbuckle to not be playing at all here, just it seems a little bit odd. And you know, Elizondo believes in Cornelius, and I believe Elizondo wanted to give Cornelius the bulk of the playing time from now to the end of the year. But then you trade this draft pick and bring in this other guy, and you're just dragging him around on the roster, not even dressing him. It's weird. So I don't know, man. When Jamie Elizondo's in front of us next, or when, you know, although they're on the road here, so I don't know. Maybe he'll answer that, but it does seem odd.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us, so we'll see how the Elks on basically 2 days rest will fare tonight against Toronto. That's
isn't
the
that
other
crazy.
Part. Yeah, it's totally crazy. So and again though, there's one where when your GM didn't take COVID serious, that's what happened. That's why they're make no mistake. No other organization had an outbreak like Edmonton. And it starts at leadership at the top. Like, let's call a spade here. That's why they're playing three games in 7 days, putting the health of your players at risk because you didn't take it serious to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely notable that it happened as strongly as it did with the Elks. There were major factions in that locker room, and I think some pretty high caliber players that were not vaccinated. I think there were issues, a little bit of issues in the room over that. And that is a management down tone that gets set, right? From management down, that tone has to get set, the way the organization is going to handle it. And so, you know, I mean, it could have been worse. They could have actually been fighting for a playoff spot and desperately needing to win two out of their next three, or, you know, or if you back up a game. And imagine then, you know, if they were scrapping for a playoff spot with this mess of a schedule, but it's all meaningless, worthless games now.
Yeah. See, and the thing is, because we've got a lot of texting guys, well, what's his name? Cornelius has played okay. And I would agree. I have no problem with how Cornelius has played. But the point is, they acquired a guy. They gave up they gave up quarterback Chris Kelly and a third rounder for Nick Arbuckle that would become a second if they re-signed him. So now they re-signed him. And so you give up a second, which is pretty valuable in the CFL draft, for a guy that you just could have signed in the off. So you're basically, you acquired him to sign him early and play him at the most one game. Because that's the most he might play is Friday against BC, right? So to me,
but
it's like,
insurance, though. He was the backup plan in case Cornelius got hurt.
Yeah, but I mean, you had Prokop. But at that point, Shogar, if Cornelius gets hurt, like, your season was over. What's the backup plan? So instead of having two wins, and you know, you might have three?
Well, and I guess part of it is, what does the free agent list look like for quarterbacks in the CFL this offseason?
Mazzoli,
I mean, when you,
Arbuckle.
When you what's that? Go ahead.
Yeah, like, there's Arbuckle, there's Mazzoli. But the other thing, Shogar, is how many other teams need a free agent quarterback? That's the thing. There's not a lot of them, right? So who are they going to be bidding against? Ottawa.
Yep. I don't know. It just feels like they were desperate for some certainty and some certainty moving forward. And so they went ahead and, you know, they wanted a veteran player with some experience to play next to Cornelius for the rest of this season in the locker room. So they got that. And then they didn't like the idea of it. Some uncertainty heading into next year, so they signed. I don't know. I'm having trouble justifying this. It just is what it is. There's parts of it that seem really odd. I get trading for Arbuckle, but then play him. See what you've got, and then see how it goes, see how it fits, and then decide on his value after you play him a couple of times, and then decide what you're going to give him for a contract in the off season based on what he did, based on what Cornelius did. But they just handed him this deal for next year that's significant money. And I haven't played them. So I don't understand it. I don't. I'm right there with you. I'm confused. Yeah. Let's just let it play out and see what happens.
Yeah, well, we'll see. The Edmonton Oilers into Winnipeg tonight. Zach Cassian's back in. He'll play with Fogel and McLeod. Ryan will center Perlini and Turris. And Cuckoo comes in for Russell Koskinen and gets the start. The Oilers... The only negative on this team, and there's way more positives, but the only negative is they got to find a way to cut down their 5-on-5 goals against.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just making mistakes that they're making some mistakes that cost them. And I know all teams do that, but 5-on-5, they're just tightening things up a little bit, making sure from kind of your own, the hash marks in your own zone to the far blue line, you know, or to the far hash marks, you're just making plays that are a little bit more certain more often. Yeah, they need to tighten up. But, I mean, so their power play's first. I think their penalty kill's, what, second in the league right now? Their special teams are just unbelievable. They're more than able to kind of out-penalty kill and out-power play their mistakes right now, and that's why their record is where it is. And 5-on-5, it's a work in progress. We've been talking about that for a little while here. So good challenge tonight, right? Like, this is a good team, and there's history between these teams. There's some pride for the Oilers to try and claw back at a little bit here. You want to beat Winnipeg after the way things went before. So, let's see what this team has. They're on the tail end of a road trip, so they're maybe a little bit tired here, but they have a chance to turn a good road trip into a great road trip here.
And you know what? I'll be honest, Shogar, because I didn't really expect it. What about the Jets' penalty kill? It's terrible. It's 65% this year. You're the Edmonton Oilers. You got to try to draw some penalties and go after the special teams of the Winnipeg. Well, the penalty kill of the Winnipeg Jets. That should be this. You know, this should be a power play night. Like, they don't take a ton of penalties, do the Jets?
Yeah.
But and it has gotten. I'm looking at their recent games. You know, they've only allowed one goal in the last five games. Granted, they've only taken six penalties.
Yeah, The other thing, too, with them is they're not, like, the guys you traditionally think about as being real dangerous for this group. I mean, like, Blake Wheeler doesn't have a goal yet this year.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, he's struggling. Mark Scheifele, one goal between Scheifele and Wheeler so far this year. Like, that's, like, wow. So, but, I mean, Andrew Kopp is having a whale a year. Kyle Connor's been good. You know, Ehlers has been decent. Dubois has been much improved for them, too. So there's lots there. Oilers should have the advantage in the faceoff circle, I think, tonight. And let's see what they can do when they have the puck on their stick. But too many good chances against last game, as we talked about. They need to cut down on that and make life a little bit easier for their goaltender.
Also, the interesting little news from Dave Tippett asking about his goaltender and Mike Smith. That so he said that Mike Smith, at the time when he left, he thought it would be a couple weeks. So to this Thursday is 1 week. So we know that Stuart Skinner is going to be here for the road trip next week. You know, it sounds like Mike Smith might not be back until December. So if you're the Oilers and you've got the Jets tonight and Thursday and then Chicago Saturday, then you get 2 days off. Do you just run Koskinen in the three games this week, or do you contemplate Skinner on Saturday against Chicago?
Yeah, I think you probably contemplate him. Let's see if they get the game tonight against Winnipeg. If they get the game tonight, I think maybe you consider running Koskinen again and then Skinner on the weekend. I think so, because then you can give Koskinen, what is it, 5 days rest before they head out on that road trip again. So, yeah, I think, I mean, you gotta get him into a game here somewhere. They run into trouble when they overplay Koskinen, and they've been able to avoid it so far this year. So, yeah, I think you probably want to work Skinner in there. And, yeah, he's been decent, so keep running him out there.
Speaking of running out there, tonight, Canada, Mexico.
Dwayne Mandruziak. I don't know if you saw the feature that that TSM produced, but we sat down with Mandruziak and asked him about the footwear. Because, of course, it was his job for 49 years to manage footwear. Excuse me, at Commonwealth Stadium and the various different surfaces they have and stuff. And he really felt like it could be a real big difference maker, especially because the games are at night. And so really this will be the challenge. Compared to last game, this will be the challenge now to see who is more prepared and can adapt based on footwear needs. But he thought it would be a real big advantage for a team that can adapt versus one that can't.
Oh, yeah, if you can adapt, for sure. And I did like what Alfonso Davies said. He goes, hey, we're not used to playing at minus 10 either. Now, we're, because we don't do it. But he said, hey, we're Canadian, so we're probably used to the weather, and mentally it might not bother them as much. But physically, Canada loves to attack. That's their forte. I'm curious to see what kind of condition the turf's going to be in.
How is it heading a ball in below temperatures, below zero temperatures, too? Is that thing hardening up a little bit? You want to smash your head into it like you normally would, or you got to think twice about that a little bit?
Well, I think they'll change, because I was watching the last game. They would change balls fairly frequently. I wonder. Although they had the stadium people standing behind the net if the ball got kicked out, and then they would just throw a ball in, right? But that one, well, they're just holding it, so I don't know if it's any warmer, right? So in the CFL, a lot of times they would have balls on the sidelines and they had them heated they brought them in.
There's a bag on the sidelines where they run heat through it, and it keeps the balls a little bit warmer and stuff. So anyway, it'll be fun to watch. Interesting to see how the elements come into play. It's one thing to get out there and play hockey on the frozen pond, or football, which we're a little bit more used to seeing, but soccer in this weather, I can imagine how the other team felt when their plane landed and they're looking out the window going, they're going to call it off, right? Yeah, we're not going to play in this, right? Nope. Have at it.
Schauger? Enjoy the trifecta of games tonight, and
right,
we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too, pal. See ya.